Today's scripture readings come from Deuteronomy and Matthew. First, a reading from Deuteronomy. Israel, listen. Our God is the Lord, only the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. These words that I am commanding you today must always be on your minds. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house and when you are out and about, when you are lying down and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. They should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your house's door frames or on your city's gates. And now from the Gospel of Matthew. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? He replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Atlas, and thank you, Belle. So delightful to have you all back, and you bring such richness to our worship. It's like the bells, the choir, the band, it's like having the whole gang all back together again. I love, friends, Rally Sunday. It is not a proper liturgical holiday, but in this church, we sure treat it as one. We buzz fresh with energy, the excitement of a new program year, reconnecting with friends and welcoming new folks fills this space. Today, it's not just about kicking off our programs. It is also about rooting ourselves in what matters most as a church community and as people of faith. So this fall, as we started by introducing last week, we are returning to the foundations of our faith through a series called Back to Basics, Essentials for Being Human and Christian Now. Week by week, we are going to be exploring the four greats, as we introduced last week, the four greats that's come to us in Scripture through the great commandment, the great requirement, the great commission, and the great invitation. We offer this series this fall as a means of spiritual grounding, a return to the wisdom that shapes our lives no matter what changes around us. And boy, does there feel like a lot changing around us. Today, we begin with our first part on the great commandment. In Jesus' words, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. It's ancient and yet alive, foundational yet revolutionary. And more than a rule or a prescription, this is, in fact, a radical invitation to live in relationship with God, with ourselves, with each other, and with all of creation. And so today, before we dig into examining the commandment's meaning itself, I want us to start at a deeper spot, starting with believing in God. To be able to love God with our whole selves is a personal choice. Many people will spend their life searching for evidence, longing for aha moment when faith morphs into certainty. Others of us have been told that faith is only genuine if it's rationally airtight or scientifically supported. Many of us might assume that believing in God means silencing all doubts or achieving perfect certainty. But I ask you today, is that kind of proof necessary for faith? In the United Methodist Church, we are big fans of science, and there is so much that it can teach us and help us to understand. And people will tell me or send me articles all the time saying science is getting closer and closer to proving the existence of God. But for me, I don't know that it comes down to needing that kind of proof, though it'd be awesome to see, but needing that kind of proof isn't a test of my faith. Pastor Bruce Reyes-Chow writes, God is not a hypothesis to prove or a theory to test. Believing that God has created, cares for, and nurtures us is a choice. An act of faith that stretches beyond human imagination, beyond rationality, and yes, even beyond science. Friends, my role as your pastor isn't to indisputably convince anyone of God's existence, nor even argue that it makes sense to believe in God. Because the truth is, making this choice is an act of faith for each and every one of us, a personal and mysterious yes to something greater. Choosing to believe in God means opening ourselves to a reality beyond what human imagination can even dream up. And what I, and I think likely many of you who have traveled this road, can say with confidence is this: in the goodness of life, we belong to God. And in our deepest losses, we still belong to God. So believing in God does not mean the removal of struggle or doubt. Instead, it means believing in God in every circumstance. It's not about certainty or proof tests, but about commitment. The act of choosing to believe in God, of choosing to be in relationship with God, despite doubt or questions, is what opens the door to everything else and is a path for how we are to live with the whole of our lives. And friends, it's that choice that is at the core of our Christian journey to live in relationship with God. The great commandment first appears in Deuteronomy when Moses gathers the people of Israel after years in the wilderness. It's kind of like a rally Sunday for them too, standing on the banks of possibility, a new chapter about to unfold. Bagels and bounce houses are on the other side. And he declares to them, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This prayer, the Shema as it's known, remains the heartbeat of Jewish faith, a daily call to remembrance, resistance, and commitment. God is the source, the origin of every identity and life. Fast forward centuries, and Jesus stands in Jerusalem, surrounded by religious leaders who are trying to test him. And they ask, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" Jesus reaches back to Deuteronomy and brings it forward for us all. He says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." He adds, "Love your neighbor as yourself." Everything hinges on these two. Jesus, too, makes clear faith is a relationship. It is a way of life. We'll talk more next week about the loving your neighbor aspect of the greatest commandment. And really, loving God and loving neighbor must go hand in hand. But I had to break it up or we would never get to that promised land of bagels and bounce houses. So stick with me here. But friends, what does this relationship look like? Theologian Marcus Borg describes three deep convictions that we learn from the Bible that define God's side of the relationship. The sacred is real and knowable, not in rote statements, but in genuine experience, as a mystery that stretches beyond words. The second is that our lives are in fact made whole by being in relationship with God. God desires connection. God reaches for us even when we don't know it. Intentionally deepening this relationship is what frees us from the weight and the confines of culture and convention. And third, God's nature is compassion and justice. In Scripture, God mends what's broken, heals the wounds, and stands against harm. To love God is to join this work, standing for justice and embodying compassion. These three convictions anchor the biblical vision of life with God, a sacred mystery at the heart of life, with whom we are called to be in mutual relationship and who is fiercely passionate for the well-being of all that exists. Bruce Reyes Chow summarizes this powerfully. Everything good about God is true. Hear that again. Everything good about God is true. Our faith, our relationship with God, isn't a tool for bargaining or a shortcut through pain. It's deep trust in God's steady presence through joy and struggle alike. Some days the burden feels impossibly heavy. Other days the world glows with kindness. Yet in every moment, God is with us. The great commandment is live by answering, is God's goodness still true, even when life hurts? Yes. God's presence doesn't erase pain or doubt, but gives hope and possibility. The courage to live as if God's goodness still matters, even after disappointment, is living the great commandment in real time. It calls us to integrity when cynicism tempts us, to hope when despair seems easier, and to notice God at work in the classroom, in the kitchens, and the city streets alike. Some days are hard and the world seems cruel. And in these moments, we can choose to believe either that darkness wins or that God's goodness will have the final say. Believing in God is choosing to trust that ultimately the goodness of God prevails, giving us resilience, meaning, and strength and love, especially when it's hard. Again this week, faith's beauty and durability have been tested by headlines bearing witness to gun violence in schools and in the political arena. The question rises once again, where is God? The deepest teaching of our tradition insists that God is with the suffering, grieving alongside and calling us to justice and healing. But we also must reckon in this moment with the dangers of Christian nationalism, a distortion that confuses love of God with allegiance to country. Sometimes even using God's name to bless violence or division. This is not the God of Shema nor the Jesus of the Great Commandment. God calls us beyond borders and exclusion. Loving God means refusing to weaponize faith for power. Instead, it means presence with hurting neighbors, working for justice, speaking for peace, and holding ourselves to compassion. So then, now that we've seen what it looks like for God to be in relationship with us, the question remains, how do we live in loving relationship with God? To love God, friends, is to direct our whole selves, heart, soul, mind, and strength, toward the sacred, resisting the lures of power and culture and fear. To love God with our heart means letting compassion guide your love for family, for neighbors, and for those in need. Loving God with our soul means centering your identity in God's unconditional love, being rooted in worth and dignity and belonging that no accomplishment or failure can take away. And loving God with your mind means embracing questions and curiosity as paths to deeper faith and wisdom. Loving God with your strength means living your faith in action. Be courageous in loving, bold in seeking peace, and patient in healing what is broken. None of this is about achieving perfection. It's about direction. Walking with God, trusting each day that we belong, and allowing daily choices to echo God's heartbeat. Corrie Ten Boom's life illustrates the Great Commandment. She and her family lived in Holland during World War II, and they created a room in their home to hide Jewish neighbors who were in danger. Their example displays loving God with their heart, mind, soul, and strength through compassion for others, wise strategizing, deep prayer, and perseverant action. Even after her sister's death in the camp, Corrie declared, "There is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still." That is loving God with all that we are, a love that overflows from our hearts to our hands, from our minds to our choices, from our souls to our songs, and from our strength to all of our days. So what does this look like for us? I invite you each week to consider one act from each of these four directions. When loving God with your heart, what does it look like to send a note or message of encouragement to someone who is struggling? In loving God with our soul, what does it look like to begin or end each day with a moment of reflection, thanking God for one blessing and one challenge, incorporating prayer or spiritual practices like reading the Bible or centering prayer into our faith life? Loving God with our mind means keeping ourselves informed, reading an article or a book, sacred or secular, that stretches your understanding, making space for questions in your faith journey. And loving God with your strength means engaging in an act of service, small or large, helping a neighbor, volunteering in the community, advocating for justice. Over time, these practices reshape our lives, weaving the Great Commandment into the fabric of our being. In closing, friends, what I ultimately want you to take away about the Great Commandment is that it calls us into living in mutual relationship with God, a relationship that transforms everything about us, and that choosing to believe in God means leaning into that relationship. But what's even more wondrous is that God also believes in us. God remembers us and holds us, and everything good about God is true, not just in theory, but for every part of our lives. God is gracious, merciful, just, and unwaveringly loving. And this goodness is not distant or abstract. It's deeply present, shaping us moment by moment. Even when we stray or forget, God never lets go. There is unshakable comfort in that truth. So to live the Great Commandment is to let God's love shape every part of us. Every day, God invites us toward healing and justice and mercy. Believing in a God who believes in us gives us courage for our valleys and strengthens us to love our neighbors. Let's recommit to making the Great Commandment the melody of our hearts and the hope that sustains our community. Because everything good about God is true, and that goodness is meant for you, for me, for all of us, and for all humanity. Thanks be to God. Amen.